Hello, everybody. This is Reverend Karen coming to you from the back 40 of the Woogie Ranch in northwestern Nevada. And I've got another Fearlessly Feral podcast episode for you today. So today's episode, the topic comes from the Centers for Spiritual Living Global Theme for March. And the title of the global theme for March is That's How We've Never Done It. And the topic for this first week of March is it's a brand new baby day. And I really like that. I like that's how we've never done it. And I like it's a brand new baby day. And I'm looking forward to this month because it'll be a dive into successfully living in today and moving beyond our past or our future. So let me do the introduction here first. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Fearlessly Feral Living. I'm broadcasting to you from the Woogie Ranch out here in the back 40 of northwestern Nevada, where I'm a half an hour away from the nearest gas station and the nearest grocery store. The mission here at Fearlessly Feral Living is to provide a strong and unshakable inner foundation that works for long-term successful living. The purpose is to activate inner self-awareness, and our vision is a world in which everyone lives wild and free, in other words, fearlessly feral. So let's dive in here, shall we? I've been reading a new daily meditation book. This meditation book's a little different. It's not organized by dates, but by topic. And just this morning, well, actually, it was the other morning by the time I'm recording this, I did a search on creativity. And I found a reading that so perfectly applied to the topic for this episode that I wanted to read it to you in its entirety. It begins with this quote by Ernest Holmes. He says, "I know I am now at the threshold of all good, wisdom, and truth. All the good I can embody is now mine. I have only to open the portals of my soul and accept that which is ready to express through me." And that's from the Science of Mind textbook, page 293. The rest of the reading goes like this. Opening day at the Milwaukee Brewers baseball stadium brings back memories. And I'm laughing because I'm going aside here. I'm laughing because I don't do sports at all. I do sports, but I don't watch sports. So the fact that I'm reading about the opening day for baseball is kind of ironic, but it fits. So stick with me here. Opening day at Milwaukee Brewers baseball stadium brings back memories. I believe opening day excitement to be true for any sport and any sport arena, and also for life itself. With a record free of loss and an anticipation of a successful season, opening day is also a ritual of loyal fans gathering with other aficionados to welcome another season. It goes on to say, each day of your life is an opening day to achieve something new or increase your personal value. You are spirit's outlet. Your job here is to become an outlet for its wisdom, intelligence, love, beauty, and creativity. Life is throwing through you as pure spirit, because you are God's stuff. Your word has power to manifest itself in concrete form. Now is the time to open to what you want and create your vision. Listen to that still small voice that is tugging for your attention. You will duplicate what you understand. No time to be vague. You must be definite and your desires to be able to achieve your goals. Take a few minutes in silence to allow the infinite to speak to you. Add visioning to your daily schedule to prepare your opening. Mind, as law, is helpless without your direction. All the good you can embody is yours now. Declare the command to open the doorway to your future, and it will be done unto you. I demand my vision be brought into substance. I have prepared the opening. and my demonstration is brought alive in my experience right now. That reading was written by Reverend Susan Carol Dexter. She's an interfaith and religious science minister in New Berlin, Wisconsin. Wasn't that wonderful? I just love that reading. I'll put that in the show notes too. So it's a brand new baby day. Excuse me. A brand new baby month where I'm inviting you to be curious about being and doing things differently than ever before. That's how we've never done it. And that's what I want to see this month. I want to see people doing things they've never done before or doing the same things, but in different ways. But in order to do, we must first be. So I want to continue this talk today by playing one of my favorite games. It's not a game. It's a spiritual practice. I call it What If? Other people call it curiosity. I'm kind of different, I guess. I like to call it What If? What if you could wake up each morning and automatically be filled with gratitude and joy, peace and equanimity? What if you could do this without effort? Without consciously having to sit down and meditate, or without going within and assessing what you are feeling and changing those feelings that aren't serving you? What if you could just willy-nilly wake up in joy and gratitude? Wouldn't that be different? I can do it sometimes, but not all the time. Well, what if you could use this brand new baby month to be and do things differently than you've ever done them before? Seems to me like that would be a grand rising indeed. In my circles lately, we've been talking about grand risings. After all, it's the annual year-long global theme this year for Centers for Spiritual Living. Lots of doing things differently is involved in a grand rising. A couple weeks ago, I attended our annual Centers for Spiritual Living convention, where almost every speaker greeted us by saying, "Grand rising." I like that much better than good morning. Good morning makes me grumpy. I don't know why. If you wake up and we're rooming together somewhere in a hotel at a convention or something, don't tell me good morning. It just makes me grumpy. Grand rising, though, that's awesome stuff. And what a grand rising it was at this convention. This convention was different than any other Centers for Spiritual Living convention I've ever experienced, except for the Integration Conference in 2011. We did things differently at this convention, and I was in awe. I was inspired. I was fully and completely engaged in the consciousness of a grand rising, of doing things like we had never done them before. When it all ended, I was very, very tired, because here's what's involved in doing something like that. There's a lot of work involved. There's a lot of personal work and a lot of collective work. And people tend not to like change. It happens to the best of us. It happens to all of us. We don't like change. Change upsets us. It upsets our equilibrium. It makes it so that we can't wake up in the morning feeling gratitude and equanimity. We wake up in the morning and go, "Wow, what happened?" And there's a lot of people that are now very, very uncomfortable because we did things differently. And when change happens, my recommendation is to go with it, to allow it, to ask yourself, "Why am I uncomfortable here?" Because within that uncomfortability, that divine discomfort, as we talked about last month, within that is a glorious new grand rising for each and every one of us. Again, both personally and collectively. So take a look at that. Take a look at that. So manifesting a grand rising in our lives means thinking and speaking, and ultimately, as a result of that, doing differently than we ever have before. Did you know that how we do the little things in life is how we also do the big things? How we experience the everyday little things is typically how we also experience our years and our lives. So we begin small. That's all we have to do is begin small. So we can begin by considering, what would it take to have a grand rising in our own life one day at a time, by taking just this day, just today, just this brand new baby day, and beginning to change things. And here's some real practical ways to do that. After all, this podcast is about practical application of spiritual principles. So here we go. Consider this. We are each unique and individualized manifestations of spirit. You are a unique and individualized manifestation of spirit. We are physical, walking, breathing, talking, godlings. Now, if that's true, think about God. Think about everything we've been told about God, not the untrue stuff, but the attributes of spirit that we like to talk about so frequently: love and joy and peace and power, equanimity. I don't know why that's coming up for me today, but it's my word for the day, apparently. Think about the fact that God is ever reaching higher and higher and ever evolving into something greater. And that by its very nature, because it created us so that it could experience the physical, we, and because we are connected with it, we are also invited, called, nudged, pushed to reach ever higher and higher in our own lives. How do we do that? By changing. We do that by changing. So we are called to be more and more godlike in all of our affairs 24/7. And this really isn't a tall order. After all, we're a part of God and it is a part of us. It comes naturally if we let it. We could ask ourselves, what if I really and truly believed that I was a part of God and it was a part of me? If that is true, then I could also ask myself, what would God do in this situation? And then I could do that. There is one other practice that I believe is essential in affecting a grand rising in our lives, in experiencing each new day as a brand new baby day, where, as Ernest Holmes puts it, the thoughts of tomorrow's and the yesterday's are swallowed up in the great realization of the perfect here and the complete now. And that also from the Science of Mind textbook, page 531. It takes personal self-awareness, knowing ourselves fully and completely, knowing our feelings at any given moment, and knowing how we react in times of stress and fear, and knowing how to restore our faith when faith has disappeared. We need to know ourselves completely. We need to have that element of personal self-awareness, because without that, we can't know God. We can't know that God that's within us. So we decide each and every day upon awakening to take a little dive into ourselves and make ourselves aware of what's going on inside. You might ask some questions like this of yourself. How do I feel today? Can I accept all of my feelings without judging them? And also work towards changing those feelings that don't serve me well with compassion. Am I blaming myself for something that happened in the past? What are my intentions for today? What actions do I wish to accomplish today? And have I been practicing good self-care in establishing my to-do list for today? In other words, you don't have so much stuff on your list that no earthly human being could ever do all the things on that list. You are not Superwoman or Superman. You are a human being, a divine manifestation of spirit, yes, but still human. Practice some good self-care in making those lists. How do I show up today in my relationships with other people? Those are just some of the questions that you can ask to begin to start to affect a grand rising in your life, to have a brand new baby day every single day. And if you're new to this self-awareness thing, you might be thinking, I don't have time for this. There's absolutely no way I have time to sit down and write out all that stuff and ask myself all those questions I just don't have time for this. I get it. I understand. Here's the deal with that. First of all, this practice, I believe, in my humble opinion, which may or may not be humble, I believe this practice is essential. This practice forms the foundation for all the other practices that we do. I believe it to be essential. But here's the kicker. Once we have this practice under our belt, we don't have to write it out. We don't even have to do it at a specific time every single day. In fact, we don't even have to do it at all because it becomes a part of our being. I've been doing a personal self-awareness practice for almost 40 years. And I can tell you that as I go through my day, it's running like a background app. I'm always checking in. I'm always knowing at any given point in time what I'm feeling and thinking. Are there times when I lose touch with that? Yeah. Are there times when I go into automatic physical reflex mode? Yeah. But eventually, sooner usually rather than later, I come back to knowing what I'm feeling and thinking. So just try it. And I want to break down this process a little bit to try and illustrate how manageable this process can be. There's a beginning practice that I recommend to all the people I work with, because believe me, I do a lot of workshops and retreats. And when I go to them, one of the first things I ask in the beginning is, how are you feeling right now? You would not believe how many people do not know how to tell me what they are feeling. And so I begin with this. I say, let's go to Google and do a search on feelings list. Lists will come up, trust me. Lots of lists on Google. They even have them with faces nowadays and emojis. It's kind of cute. Remember that a feeling is not a thought. There's a difference between a feeling and a thought. A feeling is a state of consciousness or an emotional frame of mind. A thought, it's just an opinion. And you know what people have to say about opinions? Everybody's got one. If I asked you right here and right now what you were feeling, would you be able to tell me? If we were out together and got ourselves into a difficult situation and I asked you what you were feeling, would you be able to tell me? And again, lots of you wouldn't, and that's okay. But I am inviting you to begin to consider what you're feeling at any given moment, to know this. You know, there's a statement that goes around, it's pretty popular right now. To thine own self be true. Well, there's a reason for that, guys. It's pervasive. We're told to know ourselves. We're told to express our truth. Well, how can we express our truth if we don't really know ourselves? Knowing ourselves has been a value for many, many, many thousands of years. If we go back to the roots, before religion came along, when we knew better, we knew that God was a part of us, and we knew that in order to know God, we had to know ourselves. So this is the beginning of this practice. We begin to identify our feelings. We go to Google, we do that search, we find a feelings list that resonates with us. Here's some examples of some feelings. Joyful, amazed, in awe, blissed out, delighted, eager, ecstatic, enchanted, energized, engaged, enthusiastic, excited, free, happy, inspired, invigorated. Here's some more feelings. Loving, sadness, confusion, happiness, fearful. I'm a throw in loving again because loving counteracts all fear. Once you begin to be able to identify your feelings, remember, don't judge them, just notice them. And then take those feelings that you've got and take a little bit of a deeper dive into those feelings and notice how you typically react when you feel something. For example, when you see a spider in the bathtub, what do? What do you feel in that moment? Some people feel fear. They feel fearful. Some people, when they feel fearful, either run away screaming into the other room to get the spouse to remove the spider, or they kill the spider. That's what we typically do when we're in fear, you know. We fly or we fight. It is good to know how you react with any given set of feelings. It's good to know how you react when you're in fear. It's good to know how to react when you are in love. It's good to know how you react when you're in joy. It's good to know how you react when you're sad, when you're grieving. So it's good to know when we're feeling these things. It's good to know what we do when we're feeling confused. For me, I do a treatment for clarity, an affirmative prayer for clarity. I ask my prayer partners, pray for clarity for me, please. And they do, and it comes. Here's what I know about feelings. We need to allow them, but not necessarily act on them. But we need to know how we typically instinctively react. We need to acknowledge them without judgment and be able to discern which ones serve us in accomplishing our mission and living true to our values and our vision for our life. We need to know how to release the ones that are not serving us and replace them with feelings that serve us better. And we need to know how to use affirmative prayer to do that. And with affirmative prayer, we're right back to the God stuff, guys. We're right back to knowing that we are unique and individualized manifestations of spirit. We are right back to knowing the essential truth of who and what we are. And that's a beautiful thing because when we know that truth of who and what we are, and we feel that oneness with God, there is nothing that we cannot do. We can then move out into the world and affect a grand rising, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. We have power when we know our oneness with God, guys. We have power. We can use affirmative prayer to wake up each day from this point forward, knowing that on this brand new baby day, we can do things like we've never done them before. We can wake up liberated and joyful and enthusiastic. And on those days when we don't, we can use our connection with God and our affirmative prayer and our assessment of our feelings and our compassion to know what's going on and change those feelings. Because those feelings, guys, are not the boss of us. We are the boss of them. We, meaning me and God, us as one. So I close with this quote by Ernest Holmes. He says, "I rise to meet the new day, filled with confidence and strength. I rise and go forth into the dawn, inspired and refreshed by the living spirit within me." And so I thank you for listening and for your support. And I am knowing fearlessly feral living for me and for you. Fearlessly Feral Living is a focused ministry of Centers for Spiritual Living. So we are indeed a 501c3 nonprofit. Your support is much appreciated and allows me to continue to publish these podcasts and do the website and all the stuff that costs some money and allows me to get all this stuff paid for. It is much appreciated, your support, and it is tax deductible. And you can send out support in a number of ways. If you listen to the podcast through Buzzsprout, when you go to listen to it, there's a little link there, a little button that says support the podcast, and you can sign up. And I have lots of folks that are sending me $5 a month, and that's a beautiful thing. And I am ever so grateful for that. And I thank you. You can also do a one-time donation at my PayPal page, and it's PayPal at Karen Lindsley NV. That's Karen Lindsley NV. Now, a reminder, there is no D in Lindsley. There are two L's in Lindsley. Karen Lindsley dot, no, Karen Lindsley NV. It's Linsley. And you can find all this information and more at our website at fearlesslyferal.org. Once again, until next time, I am knowing fearlessly feral living for me and for you. Thank you.